Let's begin.
This is the boss.
I'm the boss.
And the gloss.
Check out my lip gloss. I only rock clear.
On SB Nation Radio.
And SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Here are your hosts, David Gao and Carla Dawson.
I got that sunshine in my pocket.
Now, here's a story I actually really look forward to if it takes place. A Louisiana judge has ordered that NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell and the three officials from that NFC title game when, remember, there was the famous no call, when the Rams got to clobber the Saints on what should have been a pass interference call. It probably kept the Saints out of the Super Bowl. And there is an attorney in
probably kept them out of the
All
Super
right,
Bowl.
Fair
we'll
enough.
Talk about that later.
But there's an attorney who's filed a lawsuit that says that Goodell and the three have to come down. There's a subpoena that they have to testify on, well, everything they thought, what they know about it. And in fact, the lawsuit is for $75,000 in damages. Lamon would take the $75,000 in damages and donate it to charity. But think of the optics of Goodell and the three officials showing up in a Louisiana court with a Louisiana judge to talk about what went wrong for the Saints.
Yeah, who dat? I don't see it happening.
Oh, come on. Give me this. I think, well, this judge in Louisiana
this
says,
is David and Goliath. I'm not going to lie. You're taking on the shield?
Well, the judge says, come on down. Come into my little turf here, mm-hmm. and we'll take care of business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well. I'll believe it when I see it.
$75,000 at stake. I would think Goodell might just want to pay that as a donation to charity before ever having to show up and testify to this bad non-call.
And that would be classy. But yep. What Saints fans need to realize is that that was a very blatant non-call, no doubt about it.
Yes.
But they had an entire set of downs to stop the Rams and couldn't do it.
All right. Fair enough. Now, when we come back, we're going to get a chance to visit with Joe DeLaMalur. He is an outstanding, has a great history in the NFL. He was drafted in 1973 in the first round. He blocked for O.J. Simpson. Remember that line was called the Electric Company.
Yeah, the Electric Company, the seven guys that were together for 7 years. So I can't wait to talk to him.
Great number of years playing offensive guard for the Bills. Then he went to the Browns where he blocked for Brian Sipe in a very electric offense. People forget the Browns were good back then under Brian Sipe, and they were good with Joe DeLaMalur blocking for him. When we come back, we'll ask DeLaMalur how he feels about the Browns' new quarterback, Baker Mayfield, amongst other NFL questions for Hall of Famer Joe DeLaMalur next on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Well, joining us now on the Progressive Insurance guest line is Joe DeLaMalur. He's a Hall of Fame offensive guard. He played for the Bills with O.J. Simpson in the Electric Company offensive line. He also was with the Browns. Joe, thanks so much for joining us. You're on with David and Carla.
Good. Nice talking to you, David and Carla.
Well, let's just take a look back because we had a fun chance to visit about this. The Bills team on which you played, the Electric Company, that team with O.J. Simpson, one of the most prolific running games ever. What was the secret ingredient for that team?
Jim Ringel was the line coach who also played. We actually ran the Green Bay suite because he played in Green Bay with Horning and Taylor. So we had Braxton and Jim Braxton, O.J. Simpson, and we had five plays. That was it. And then we had great receivers. We had J.D. Hill, Ahmad Rashad, and Bobby Chandler. All those guys caught over 50 balls, which was unheard of because we only threw it 20 times, 25 times a game. So we just had great players and a great coach and great scheme, and we made it simple.
And then you were traded to the Browns, and there you were blocking for Brian Sipe, who was wildly successful passing the ball.
Yeah, he was. He was the MVP of the league in 80. I got traded there in 80. We only gave up 10 sacks, and he threw for 400 yards. If you did that now, we'd be like, we'd be all over television. I mean, both lines.
Right.
Now it's like, if the quarterback gets sacked sometimes in 10 games, but they're also throwing the ball 50 times a game.
We're talking to Joe DeLong.
I think we'd be much better, actually, than they are now. If we played now with our same offensive guys, I think we'd be really, really great because they spread the field out and try to tackle OJ in an open field. He would rush for 2,500 yards without question.
We're talking to Joe DeLamalure. He's a Hall of Famer. He played for the Browns and the Bills. I want to ask you about the Browns now. I mean, we just talked about Brian Sipe, great quarterback. Bernie Kosar, great quarterback for the Browns. And now there's this guy, Baker Mayfield. He sure brings a lot of moxie to that team. How do you evaluate Baker Mayfield and the Browns this season?
I think they're really going to be good. I think they're going to be – they got really good receivers now. They traded for the kid from New York.
Beckham,
and the other kid's good anyhow. But I think they're going to be really good, not because of the offense, but because of the defense. If they can get them where they have to pass the ball to win games, the opponent, Cleveland's going to be there right at the end because they can really get after the passer. So if they get some lead, it's important for them to get off to a good start so they don't say this kid's a flash in the pan or something. I think he's really good. I think the kid from Kansas City is really good. The AFC's got some really good young quarterbacks.
Yeah, the AFC is murderer's row with the quarterbacks. They're really, really stout. Let me ask you, Joe, so going back to Cleveland for a quick minute. So Freddie Kitchens, this is his first year as a full-time head coach for the Browns. There's a little scuffle yesterday in practice between one of the tight ends and one of the younger defensive ends, and he punished the entire team. Everybody was running. And just for this one practice, do you agree with that philosophy that, hey, everyone has to take it? Or do you think that's not the way to treat veterans, as a first-year coach?
I think he's just setting the tempo for the team, showing that it's a good philosophy to say, hey, we're all in this together, and you don't play against each other. You play against other teams. But that happens all the time in football. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's always fights in camp. Now they have so many cameras, they catch every one of them. And when we played, there was a fight of practice just about, something pushing, shoving. But I think it's no big deal. I think the media makes a big deal of it because it's exciting to the fans. It's, oh, man, they must be mean guys or fighting with each other. You can't get hurt anyhow in the uniform. What are they going to do, punch your hand into a helmet? It's just I agree with that. I think the coach is setting the tempo. I don't know him from Adam as a coach. I don't know, really didn't know where he was. I didn't follow him. But hopefully he'll be pretty good. They got a lot of talent, so that'll make him a better coach.
We're talking to six-time Pro Bowler Joe DeLamalure. Okay, on that Browns team, the defensive team, as you cited, has a lot of talent. I mean, Myles Garrett, they've got all the horses there defensively. Offensively, the skill positions, they appear loaded. Are you confident in the Browns' offensive line, though?
Yeah, I am. I think they'll be okay. And they got a really good running back, the kid from Georgia, right? He's from Georgia, the running back.
Mm-hmm.
He's good. I can't remember all these guys' names because they change all the time. But that kid's a good back. So they can run the ball. They can control it. He can do a lot of play action, which is going to help the pass protection. The guy, I don't feel sorry for him. I knew this was going to happen. When Joe Thomas retired with all those crappy teams, now they finally got a good team.
Right.
So, if they had him, there would be, no problems because he took care of one position for 12 or 13 years. You just eliminated the guy he played with so that you're playing against 10. But unfortunately, he retired. I feel bad for him because they're going to probably win and win a lot.
Right after 16 seasons of not making the playoffs. Poor guy's going to probably watch them go.
A couple years ago, I did a radio show like this. When the Super Bowl was in New York, they said, who are you picking to win? I was born in Detroit, so I went to Michigan State. I played for Cleveland, obviously. So I said, my pick before the season we're talking about, I said, the Lions and the Browns. They were both terrible teams. I said, why would you say that? Because I said, everybody in Detroit and Cleveland says it'll be a cold day in hell if those guys ever go to the Super Bowl. So they were playing in New York. I said, this could be the year. Play each other. But unfortunately, they didn't.
Well, there's still time, Joe. There's still time.
Yeah.
And hopefully the Browns can, live up to
Browns
the hype.
Are going to be in the playoffs. I think they're going to be pretty good.
Yeah, I think they are going to be good, too. So looking at one of your other former teams, the Bills, they went 6-10 last year with young quarterback Josh Allen. Tell me about how you think Sean McDermott is doing in his role at Buffalo.
I think he's a great coach. I watched him because I lived in Charlotte. Then we moved on to Somerville. He was a good coach in Charlotte. And I think he's going to do really well. And I like how he's really got that team united. So if Josh can throw the ball, he scares me with his accuracy a little bit. But, I don't know if they got the offense to really contend in that division with Brady. I mean, that's a big challenge. But they should be better. They should be a lot better team. I don't know if they'll go 10-6, but they have a better team than they did last year.
We're talking to Joe DeLamalure. He's a Hall of Famer, former offensive guard for the Bills and the Browns. Let's talk about offenses today, the spread, the passing first, running second, very different than, say, the 1970s when you were blocking for O.J. Simpson on the Bills. What do you think?
It was the whole conference we had. If you look back at the 70s, Pittsburgh had Franco. The Dolphins had Zonka and Kick and Mercury Morris. We had O.J. Simpson, Braxton, Sam Cunningham in New England, Earl Campbell. These are all-time great backs. They all played in that division, and they're all-time great because they got to carry the ball. They could show their, show how good they are. Now, the Super Bowl is really a surprise to me because the kid from L.A. only carried the ball 5 times in a Super Bowl. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Todd Gurley, yeah.
How can you expect them to win when one of the best players on the field only touches it 5 times?
And they didn't.
And
win,
I can guarantee you he's not a good blocker. You know, he's not out there for his blocking. He's there because he can run. But I think that's a good coach, too, that young kid.
Sean McVay.
The Rams, yes. He really impresses me. Really impresses me. So, he's got it together, too. That they're going to be a team to be reckoned with. The Rams are pretty good. And they got a good defense.
One of the things you highlighted earlier was how instrumental Jim Ringo, your offensive line coach, was to the success of the Bills' running game. Are there offensive line coaches that you admire today?
The guy in New England.
Yeah.
Number one.
Oh, Dante.
Skarnecchia.
There you go.
No, he's amazing, right? I mean, he turns these left tackles into free agent phenoms. And, you look at
46-year veteran coaching career. That's incredible.
Yeah, he's a great coach. And whoever he plugs in, they play.
They play. The Dolphins today, Brian Flores fired his offensive line coach. Here we are just a week into training camp. What does that mean? How do you make that conclusion so quickly? What do you think Flores must have seen to make a decision so fast?
Well, they have these OTAs, off-season camps, The guy probably didn't do too well there. So he said, we'll take him in first, and see what he does when all the pads are on and goes, see how he goes. He probably didn't do too well today. So that's how it was when you were a player. I mean, these coaches are getting a little taste of what we went through our whole careers. Mm. And our contracts weren't guaranteed.
Sure.
So you're only as good as your last play. And, there's a huge difference between now and what they were guaranteed contracts. I was the number one pick in Buffalo in 73. My contract was 22, 24, 26, 28. $30,000 for 5 years, nothing guaranteed.
Oh, wow. My goodness. Can you repeat that, Joe? I don't think our listeners would
believe those
numbers.
You played in the wrong era.
Yes.
I played in the wrong era for sure.
Yeah.
My salary was 22, 24, 26, 28, 30 for 5 years. That was my first 5 years. Me and my wife were dancing. We were so excited when we got $22,000 because we're coming from college with nothing. And I'm one of 10 kids. She's one of 8, and we have 6.
So you're definitely Catholic. I'm already getting that figure. Me too. So
I do. Yeah, I was at Mass tonight, the 6:30. I go every day.
Good for you, Joe. I'm the same. Well, how do you feel as a line? Offensive lineman. It's not the sexiest position, but it's the most necessary, honestly, in the NFL besides the quarterback, because you're protecting your franchise.
Yeah,
do you feel the college game is preparing these linemen to step into their role in the NFL?
Well, I hope they are, but I don't see that many great offensive linemen coming up. Mm-hmm. They're just not coached because the coaches in college haven't played. I think if you want to have a good football program, but they say this is discriminating, you should only be able to coach to your level. So if you only went to high school, you can only coach high school. If you didn't play any beyond high school, if you played in college, you can play college. If you play in pro, you're eligible to coach a pro. I know coaches will say, that guy, he don't know what he's talking about. I'm telling you, as a player, that's what all the players think. You go ask any guy who played in the league, they say, man, I pray to God I get a guy who played coaching me, because they understand. Because some days you have some bad plays. These guys think every play is going to be 100%. It's not. So, you learn by losing. You learn by losing, a player here and there as an individual. You get better. That's how you get better. And the guys who get better from learning from their mistakes, those are the guys who can play 10, 12 years, because you're going to make mistakes. But you can't play scared. And that's what a lot of these kids, to me, they're afraid to make a mistake because they have 3-4 rotations in an offensive line. I mean, to me, it's ridiculous. The electric company, our line, we played 7 years together, nobody coming out. That you look at that statistic. We had 7 guys play for 7 years, including exhibition. Now these guys play exhibition after 3 or 4 plays. They're sitting on a bench with their hat on backwards, laughing, joking. No, we were playing because they said, we got to protect the backs because they couldn't get back hurt back then. Like if they had a good backup back, they don't want them running behind a second string line. So it's a totally different game.
He is Joe DeLaMalur. Joe, thank you so much for joining David and Carla here on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. They're close, convenient, and known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Well, great to talk to Joe. It was amazing. I'm there. He's a Hall of Famer. And
as an O-lineman, that's not an everyday occurrence.
Yes, but
it's hard to get in there.
Such sustained excellence. He was really a standout for so many years for both the Bills and the Browns. Interesting to hear, though, he's sort of old school. Obviously, he played almost in a different era in the 1970s than football today. When he was talking about the Browns and that Freddie Kitchens, when there was a fight amongst team members, that Freddie Kitchens made the entire team, though two were in the fight, he made the entire team run sprints, gassers, sort of a classic high school move. That's what a high school coach would do. And there's always a question whether today's NFL professional, whether an OBJ, whether Jarvis Landry, Baker Mayfield, whether they would accept running sprints. And Joe DeLaMalur, Hall of Famer from the 1970s, said, yeah, make him run sprints. He has no troubles with what Freddie Kitchens has done.
No, he hasn't. And I thought it was interesting what he said, too, that coaches should only coach to the level at which you've played. So if you only played high school football, you only can coach up to high school football because you won't have the respect of the players, basically what he's saying.
Right.
What do you think about that?
Well, it's probably a good rule of thumb, but there are some pretty good exceptions. I mean, there are a lot of great head coaches who'd never played at the NFL level. So I wouldn't make it a hard and fast rule, but it is an interesting observation. Mm-hmm. I can certainly see why it's beneficial to have played the game and to be able to talk to a player from firsthand experience.
Sure. I do, too.
All right, let's talk about a big problem in the NFL for...
Is there a problem in the NFL?
Well, I'm going to talk about the Giants right now. They've got a big-time problem. Of course, they traded away OBJ in the offseason, and then when they look at their wide receiver core, they are dropping like flies.
They have lost signs everywhere. Lost receiving core.
Yeah, well, Sterling Shepard is a pretty good receiver, and they thought he could fill in that number one slot. He's now fractured his thumb. He says he'll be back by week one, but we shall see. He's now out for training camp. Sterling Shepard injured. They've had some other injuries as well.
Well, obviously they lost Odell Beckham Jr., traded to Cleveland in the offseason.
Yep.
They bring in Golden Tate to replace OBJ to be their number one receiver. And he's just found out he's suspended four games for PEDs, violating the PED policy due to fertility drugs.
Yeah.
His wife were trying to have a baby, and he took, I guess he had to take something too.
So as I understand it, from what I've read, is that, well, when he took the fertility drugs, he later figured out that that might violate his PED. He went to his team,
he went to
the league, and he said, hey, this has happened. And then when he tested and it didn't work out, he's now been suspended regardless. He's going to appeal on this. Rarely does the appeal work.
Right.
But he's got a case that might be distinct here.
It is distinct. There has been a case a couple years ago. I can't remember exactly who it was for the same reason, the fertility drugs. His appeal did not go through. But I think it is interesting that Golden Tate, you know, he's a great NFL ambassador. I mean, you look at all the teams that he's played for. He was in Seattle. He's with the Lions. He has been an upstanding citizen and a great ambassador for the NFL. So I wonder if that history will play into it. And the fact that he alerted the NFL and his coaches before anyone knew that this had happened.
Sure.
Also then, as a strike three for the Giants receiving core, Corey Coleman, their number three option, who would have presumably been their number three, tore his ACL in the same practice that Sterling Shepard tore his thumb. So it's not looking good.
They are bereft
they
of
have
receivers.
They've got to go get some receivers.
Well, and the awkward thing is you're Eli Manning, and you feel the pressure of getting off to a good start and performing at a high level because the number six overall draft pick, Daniel Jones, from your beloved Duke.
I can just keep laughing.
I know, but he's there. He's number six.
He's
and
there.
He is pressure. And there are all of these whispers. If Eli didn't come out hot, the team's going to look to Daniel Jones. Well, now, how do you perform well if you don't have any good receivers?
You are the New York Football Giants. You're going to figure that out. Well, Saquon Barkley's going to have a lot of touches.
Yeah, Barkley will get the ball a lot. Obviously, they'll run the play action and feed it off
of him.
But
who do you bring in? Who do you like that they can pick up at this point?
Well, there's not a great list. I will say there is a list of guys who you could bring in whose names are bigger than their current ability to perform.
I love me some Dez Bryant. You know I'm a fan.
As I said, a name bigger than his current ability to perform. I mean, Dez Bryant, we saw him. Look, he was a cap casualty from the Cowboys. Then he went to the Saints and he tore his Achilles. And tearing your Achilles is a tough injury from which to recover.
But, you know, he's posting videos. He's looking good. He's working out.
All right. So he's certainly somebody they'll have to consider. Kelvin Benjamin from, he's a former free agent. He's a free agent now, but he's a former pick of Dave Gettleman back at the Panthers. Benjamin. Well, he's a guy Gettleman took him in the first round back in 2014. So Kelvin Benjamin is somebody that Gettleman knows and might well consider to bring in.
I also love Jordy Nelson.
Well, again, another name. These guys have real pedigree to them, right?
No, they do have pedigree. And then there's some young guys like Cincinnati's John Ross, super speedy. You know, wasn't used a lot, and I don't know that he will be used a lot in Cincinnati, so that's another option. I mean, New York's got to do something. The Giants have lost 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
Eek. For a time, anyway.
Really, right now, the NFC East looks like it's a two-team race between the Cowboys and the Eagles. Mm-hmm. Giants with all these issues. And when you look at the Redskins, Trent Williams holding out at left tackle. And
That's a big question mark.
It's a big question mark. And they've got probably a path to starting a rookie quarterback. Rookie quarterbacks tend to struggle anyway. Dwayne Haskins, if he's a rookie quarterback starting without a solid resource at left tackle, Redskins.
Deshaun Watson, 62 sacks last year. So
that's
let's
right.
not, so that doesn't happen.
I mean, one thing I'd say about the Redskins is they are stocked defensively, particularly up in their front seven. I think they'll play well defensively, but they're just not ready to win that division. Looks like a two-team race. Cowboys, Eagles will be fun to watch. I want to highlight one guy on the Cowboys that is sort of interesting to think about right now, and that's Sean Lee. Cowboys, well, I might say three guys. In terms of leadership, Dak Prescott really stepping into the role of leadership for what he's lacked in ability on the field. He's more than made up for with intangibles. They bring back Jason Witten, who's a great leader on the field offensively. And then defensively, Sean Lee, though he may not play every down on defense and likely won't, he's really shown in this offseason his commitment to the Cowboys. And I'd say it in a couple of different ways. First of all, of course, we all know last year when he got injured, he lost his starting job. The two linebackers on the field most of the time are Jalen Smith and Leighton Vander Esch, both of whom were outstanding. And the Cowboys probably about 70% of the time only line up two linebackers on defense. So Lee has to find his way on the field only about 30% of the time at the linebacker spot. He renegotiated his contract to stay with the team, and he's just volunteered to play special teams so he can make a bigger contribution.
That's a win-win
for
the Cowboys and for Sean Lee. I love that.
When we come back, we get a chance to look at He Said, She Said. We'll take a look at what sports luminaries have said, and we will unpack some big quotes, including what's going on with the Bengals and the injury to A.J. Green when we return on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Okay, Carla, you probably saw me come limping back in here.
I wasn't going to say anything.
Well, it's not that I've gotten old overnight, but I was in Colorado this weekend. We took some monster hikes. They were fantastic, but I am sore.
Oh, really? I feel so sorry for you.
Well, it was pretty good.
Jose, we were sweating our booties off in H-Town while he's hiking through the mountains of Colorado.
I'm going to address the elephant in the room. He didn't come back with souvenirs.
I got no souvenirs.
There we go. I'm glad you brought that
but
up.
But I am awfully sore. I've got all kinds of soreness up and down my legs.
You know what you need?
What?
Look no further. Blue Emu's your friend.
Blue Emu?
And no one could be able to smell you coming.
Well, because it doesn't stink, right?
That's right.
There's no smell. It's a deep penetrating cream. I rub it all over my body, and I will feel much better.
You were vacationing in America. It's made in America.
Done. I'm in. All right. Blue Emu when I go home tonight.
And no chill either. It's not going to make you cold.
I like that even
no
better.
No burn either. This stuff is perfection. I'm not kidding you.
Okay. I might even be wearing it now. You wouldn't know because I don't smell.
Well, you're limping, so I know. So I'm going to pass you some Blue Emu before we finish tonight.
All right. I'm looking forward to my Blue Emu. I'm also looking forward to the He Said, She Said segment. We're going to look at what different people have said, and we'll unpack them. We're going to go first to, well, the football conditions in Dayton where the Bengals were practicing. And wide receiver Tyler Boyd was unhappy with the conditions on the field, and he said this in the midst of A.J. Green's injury. Let's hear what Tyler Boyd, wide receiver for the Bengals, had to say about the field.
The turf was terrible. I couldn't run any routes out there. I'm falling all over the ground, man. It was bad. It was rocks, pebbles out there, man. It wasn't somewhere we should have been. I'm not trying to say any excuses, but it is what it is.
Okay, that's wide receiver Tyler Boyd. Wide receiver A.J. Green, of course, gets injured on that field.
He tore ligaments in his ankle. This is not an easy. This is 6 to 8 weeks being out.
A big setback for the Bengals, who really need Green to be prolific.
He is the Bengals. They really need him.
All right, Bengals head coach Zach Taylor was asked about the field, and this is what he said.
Tyler Boyd called the turf terrible yesterday. Do you feel like a lot of other players said that too? Or?
No, I didn't hear. I didn't hear anybody say that. But, you know, especially with AJ's injury, you review that tape, and he came down a little funny. It was a competition for a ball. Came down. I don't think the turf had anything to do with it. That could have happened right out here. So, you know, I enjoyed the trip up to Dayton yesterday. Got a chance to interact with some people we don't always get to see. And so unfortunate that AJ got hurt on that play, but didn't have any issue with the field.
Rookie move, rookie head coach. He doesn't see any issue with the turf. Was he out there catching those balls? I just think, I don't know. How would you handle that, David? Your star player just went down for 6 to 8 weeks, and you're saying, no, he came down wrong. It wasn't anything with the turf. But you've got a receiver saying it was a mess. But at least Zach Taylor got to see some good people in Dayton, so the trip was worth it.
No, the tragic reality is A.J. Green is that's a tough thing. I mean, he's going to take some time to come back from that, and he'll have to work himself back into shape. You can't run on that torn ligament. It's going to be a big setback. And I mean, Andy Dalton needs AJ Green. That offense without AJ Green is really not too head turning, frankly.
And Tyler Boyd needs AJ Green.
Yep.
You know, just all the way around. I mean, rookie move. Don't blame your player.
Well, it was an exciting week with different players showing up at training camp. I mean, Jalen Ramsey showed up with a Brinks truck asking for more money from the Jaguars. But one of your Raiders showed up, Antonio Brown, in a hot air balloon. Let's listen to this.
I thought it would be exciting to switch it up. Napa Valley obviously is known for the hot air balloons. But this camp is so important for this team because, you know, it's a lot at stake. We kind of got to develop our identity. I think it all starts today with the commitment from guys there and everyone there understanding the reason we there and why they're putting their hand in the pile, you know, to make the Raiders great again and start today. Oh, Raider Nation, I'm here in Napa. It's time to get to work, baby. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Let's get to work.
He's quoting Muhammad Ali. He's off to a good
start.
I love
that. That is absolutely the way to go. I mean, credit AB. You know, he knows right away we've got to develop our identity. They have been basement dwellers. That's not a good identity. So I love his – and his he's been committed since the day he agreed to this trade, attending Derek Carr's little son's birthday party, going to Derek Carr's house, seeing surprise visitor. And He's all in. He wants his relationships to be good.
Well, if anybody questioned whether the Raiders were the right team for Hard Knocks, I think Antonio Brown answered a resounding absolutely yes. And it was fun to when John Gruden was told that Antonio Brown showed up on a hot air balloon. His only concern was, well, was he injured doing so? And everybody said, no, he's fine. He said, that's all I care about. So anyway, Gruden is happy to have Antonio Brown on the team. Gruden also talked about what it was like to have such a feisty player, Antonio Brown, on the team. And, well, Antonio Brown, who's been known to yell at quarterbacks, maybe he could yell at Derek Carr. Gruden said, don't yell at Derek Carr, yell at me. And then when he realized what that was like, he passed Antonio Brown down. Let's hear what John Gruden had to say about Antonio Brown yelling at his teammates and coaches.
I expect a lot more drama from number 84. I really do. I told Antonio, try not to yell at Derek. Yell at me when you have a problem. Then he started yelling at me. I said, don't yell at me. Yell at Olsen. He's the offensive coordinator.
Well, he's the right guy to coach Antonio Brown.
He probably
knows what
is,
he's
yeah.
getting. It's not like, well, the drama's behind him. He says, I expect a lot more drama. But Gruden knows how to handle that. And there's a respect factor between the two. I think it's going to be fun. Really fun. Hard Knocks, I cannot wait. August 6th debut.
I know
Get
you will
ready.
Be glued every minute of that.
Glued, rewinding, and rewatching. I can't wait.
All right, let's look at another training camp. There's a holdout. Dak Prescott talked about Zeke Elliott, who is holding out from the Cowboys.
We're not worried about him because we know wherever he is, he's doing things the right way. He's getting himself ready. He's probably running the same drills that GB would have him going through. So we're not worried. He's a professional. He takes care of his business when it comes to this game, and that's something we're all thankful for. And then it just this team, it just shows our camaraderie. Shows the brotherhood that we've created, over the years for the guys that have been here, and then the guys in the spring that have come in and been thankful to be part of this. We've got a great team, and it's because we've got a lot of great people off the field that we stay tight, tight-knit, and when we come on the field, things are easier.
My goodness, really? You know what's cool about that is you listen to that and think he was so classy about his teammate who's, you know, on the way to Cabo and probably doing wind sprints in the sand, right?
Well, Dak Prescott said that, of course, before the news came out that Elliott was headed to Cabo, and Dak gave him the benefit of the doubt. But, I mean, who's to say? Maybe Elliott's running wind sprints on the beach in Cabo.
Well, even regardless of what Elliott is doing,
yes,
the character of Dak Prescott and how he did not throw a teammate under the bus who is causing drama in Dallas yet once again, what the veterans, Jason Witten, what Zach Martin, guys are saying about Dak, you just heard right there. He galvanizes that locker room. They respond to him, the veterans as well as the young players. He leads by example. What Dak just did right there was, hey, we've got each other's back. We just got to do what we got to do and play. That's the guy you pay.
Well, in another moment, to just affirm that point, Dak pulled the other running backs who were in camp and said, this is your opportunity. You're going to get more reps. You're going to get to do what Elliott is not here doing. So Darius Jackson, Tony Pollard, Mike Weber, who was just drafted by the Cowboys, those guys have a real chance to step up and get repetitions. And so this is their opportunity, and Dak affirmed they needed to step up and take advantage of their chance.
That's what you want for the guy under center. You want them to be. You want him to be your leader, and he is. On the field, off the field, in the locker room.
All right, from the good to the bad or the ugly, Tyreek Hill.
Oh,
he spoke to the media. Well, he's back, and he talked about his relationship with his son and returning to the Chiefs.
Like I said, I really can't get into that, but punching my son in my chest, that would probably refer me teaching my son how to box, because we do got boxing gloves at our house, and our son, like, he's like Iron Man. So he loves Iron Man, Aquaman. He's like, Daddy, come on, come on, come on, all the time. So that's what it is, man. And, you know, sometimes things get thrown out of context, you know, when feelings get involved and emotions. But I ain't going to get into all that right now. So thank you, guys. I love you. Cheetah back, man. Thank you for the support. Chiefs Kingdom, man, I love you. Like I said, I'm going as a person each and every day. You know what I'm saying? And for the reporters, man, hey, my story is crazy. It's going to be somebody's testimony one day.
Sounds like a guy who just got a get-out-of-jail-free card.
And bingo, he did.
He did.
Compliments a la Roger Goodell. Like, you know, just the cavalier way of, oh, are you referring to punching my son in the chest? Like, it was kind of like, oh, yeah, are you referring to me going to the grocery store? Mm. Oh, yeah, punching my son in the chest. Well, yeah, we have boxing gloves. I bet you do, Tyreek. I can't even get started. If I didn't have these headsets on, I mean, you might see smoke coming out of them.
Oh,
anyway.
I do. Yeah. They're coming out around the headphones.
I might be as feisty as AB right now.
Mm-hmm.
I do not like that. But you know what? he was welcomed. He was a crowd favorite at training camp by the Chiefs fans. So, you know, what can you say?
It's always interesting with fandom. They may not like outlaws in general, but they like the outlaw on their own team. And the Chiefs have welcomed back Tyreek Hill.
Well, remember, fanatic comes from the word fan.
Fair enough.
Here we go.
All right, let's talk about Trevor Bauer. Well, he's a fiery guy in the MLB, and yesterday he took his emotions to a new level, throwing a ball in the outfield after he was pulled. And then, of course, there was a bad encounter with Terry Francona when he's getting pulled. So after the game, well, he's had this to say to his teammates about his actions.
I love going to battle with my guys every day. And today I feel like I really let them down, both personally and professionally. I'm an intense competitor, and that fire is what drives me. And today it completely consumed me, took over. And you know, I just wanted to say that I'm sorry for how I behaved. I'll be better about it. It won't happen again. And if my teammates in the organization are willing to forgive me and continue you know, accepting me in the brotherhood, I look forward to getting back out there with my guys next time and continuing on our road and our fight for, you know, what we set out to do this season, which was win a World Series.
Well, the more I think about it, he's going to be traded, so he can apologize to his teammates, but he's likely to have some new teammates very soon.
Unless this impacts his trade value in some way, of teams saying, Cleveland is, you know, one game back in the AL Central behind the Twins. Why are they wanting to get rid of a guy in their starting rotation?
Something doesn't smell right.
Red flag, red flag, red flag. So,
I don't want to move on to a guy who's a real showman. He's become one. Michael Irvin. He was a guest on First Take this morning.
And this was entertainment.
Well, yeah, here it comes. Stephen A. Smith asked the Cowboy legend Michael Irvin about the Cowboys and Ezekiel Elliott. Let's listen to Michael.
You yourself have been on the record raving about the marketing genius that is Jerry Jones. Well, guess what? All right, so the Dallas Cowboys are going to be relevant. The Dallas Cowboys are going to get their money without Ezekiel Elliott. So if I'm going to give it to him,
but you're missing the point here. You're missing the point. It ain't just dollars. It's egos that rises the billionaire to the billionaire. Yes, they got the money. That's why they went and bought the team. And the one thing they want to do more than anything is strut around the other billionaires and say, I beat you. Zeke and give him a title to go tell Robert Kraft, I beat you, to go tell all those other owners. That's the most important part. They got dollars they can't even spend.
Well, the combination of Stephen A. and Michael Irvin, that's pretty explosive.
It's explosive. That's the perfect word. And seeing this, I saw it live this morning. It's fully entertaining. And, you know, I can tell you that Michael Irvin, he was the real deal, meaning that every fiber of his being was in this because he sweated profusely through, I don't know how many shirts, plus this crazy suit that would be hard to see. I mean, this pit stain was the size of a basketball. He was all in, sweaty. He made good points. He's passionate. If Stephen A. can't get a word in, wow.
Yeah, you know that Irvin has done his job, right?
Oh, it was very entertaining.
But of course, much of that's orchestrated, right? They brought Irvin in, they teed him up, and they let him go.
They let him go. You've got a cowboy lover with a cowboy hater.
Yep.
Both ends of the spectrum, and both guys that just love to just antagonize each other, and it was a made-for-TV moment.
Good theater. All right, when we come back, we're going to get a chance to look at what I have learned from the gloss over the last couple of hours. Learnings from Carla Dawson when we return on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, my favorite part of the show, I get to address what I have learned from the gloss over the last couple of hours. Let me start with this one.
That I can't speak today?
No, you speak very well. Michael Irvin is a heck of a showman.
Over the top.
When he speaks, you listen. You look at least.
I listen. I love it. I'm not kidding. I love it. He's really fun.
You love the sweat stains underneath his shirt, all the hype and the drama and the animation.
I do. I love the passion. Bring it on.
Bring it on. All right. That's number one. Number two. I learned that you think the Astros need to be aggressive and go get a top frontline pitcher like a Noah Syndergaard. Don't shortchange this trade deadline.
Yes, absolutely. Go for the gusto.
You do not want them to pick up Trevor Bauer. Too much history.
Too much history. Not good chemistry for the locker room. There's a reason the Indians might be sellers.
I learned that you think someone showing up to training camp in a hot air balloon can be a good thing for a team.
If the hot air is coming out of the balloon and not AB's lips, I'm all about it.
Yeah, it'll be his lips next. But for now, it's the hot air balloon.
For
right?
Now, I'm happy, yes.
All right. Notably, the Giants are now wiped out at receiver due to injuries at wide receiver position. You think the Giants need to go get a familiar name, Dez Bryant.
I do. I just love that. And they need a little chutzpah.
Well, remember, Dez always wanted to go, when the Cowboys cut him loose, he wanted to go sign with an NFC East team to get what
yes,
he called
he did.
Payback.
So here you go. It'd be perfect.
This is his chance. He's out on social media spreading around pictures that he can run well again. Speaking of running, you think Freddie Kitchens was a little heavy-handed making the whole team run gassers when two players had a fight?
Should have left the vets alone. The vets are setting an example they shouldn't have to do.
The vets may revolt.
That's right.
All right, be sure to stay tuned. Coming up next here on SB Nation Radio, the amazing Alex Gold of the Gold Standard will be up next, and he is exceptional. You'll hear him next. It will be Alex Gold on SB Nation Radio.